Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. I want to preach a message I have been threatening to preach for about the past month and a half. I asked Trina this morning, I said, did you put my sermon title in there this morning? And I said, you've been putting it in there. Well, she only did that one Sunday, but of what I wasn't going to preach, and now that I'm going to preach it, but we never know. But Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, bring a message I've entitled, is church attendance really that important? Is church really that important? The writer of Hebrews, as he has given to us the explanation earlier in chapter 10, that the law is ineffective to cover sin. That's why we're saved by grace through faith. That the grace is done for us, the death of Christ has done for us what the law was incapable of doing. And now that we've been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and through grace, we are exhorted to be faithful to God. Look what he says beginning in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil that is said his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for us, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. John was having a problem with his squirrels around his house. And John was meeting together with some of his friends for breakfast one morning, and John was explaining how he just had this problem with squirrels. And the squirrels were just everywhere, and he did not know how in the world he was going to get rid of the squirrels. So one of his friends said, well, I've got a great suggestion. I tell you what, tomorrow morning I'll come over with my shotgun, and I'll take care of your squirrels. You won't have any more problems with squirrels. Well, John was kind of a compassionate, soft-hearted type of guy, and he said, well, you know, even though I don't like the critters being here, I really don't want to kill them, so that's not really an option for me. One of his other friends, I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll set some traps, and we'll trap them all, and we'll take them out in the woods, and we'll drop them off, and you won't be bothered with them anymore. And John says, well, you know, I've tried that. It seems like I take them out in the woods, and about 2 or 3 weeks later, they come, and they find their ways right back to where they are bothering me again. Well, his third friend, who just happened to be the preacher at the local Baptist church, he said, well, I have a way that I know for certainty will take care of your squirrel problem. And John, of course, he says, surely, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And all his other friends said, yeah, I bet you really know a way. And he said, no, I know a way that I can guarantee you, if you'll let me do this, you will never see those squirrels ever again. You won't have a problem with those squirrels. So now they're all listening, okay, now, preacher, what is your solution? Well, I'm going to gather up all your squirrels. I'm going to take them to church Sunday morning. I'm going to baptize them, vote them in as members of the church, and you'll never see those squirrels ever again. Now, while that may be a funny little story, the fact of the matter is there's a lot of truth to that. So many times we think because we have our name on a church roll, because we've been baptized and we're a member of a certain church, that really church is not that important. Well, let me say something to you today. Let me ask you a question. Is church attendance really that important? Now, let me ask you a question. I've got two sermons to preach to you today. I have a short version of my sermon, and I have a long version of my sermon. Which would you like to hear? I know you want to hear. Well, I didn't hear that coming. See that coming? I know you would like to hear the short version. So I'm going to give you the short version. Is church attendance really that important? Yes, it is. Now, you expect me to say that because I'm a minister. But I said it because the Bible says that church attendance, being faithful to God, is extremely important. Now that I preach the short sermon, I'm going to give Ms. Marjorie what she wants and give you the long version of my message today so you can blame her. The fact of the matter is, church attendance really is unimportant. But sadly, Church attendance is declining in America. Statistics show it's only about 20% of Christians attend church on a regular basis. In fact, the younger you are, the less likely you are to be faithful to church. And they said that churches founded before 1960 are experiencing the largest decline in church attendance. Now, I think that is a lot to do because, folly, it's an older church, and a lot of the members are dying out, not being replaced by our younger generation. But the churches today are dying as far as their attendance. Why? Because individuals, church members, do not see church as being very important. It's no longer seen as an important part of their life. It's seen something as being optional, something that well, if it fits into my schedule, I'll do it. Let me ask you a question. Is church attendance important to you? Is your faithfulness to church something that is very important to you? Now, you know the answer to that, but, you know, a lot of times we come up with excuses as to why we can't attend church. We do that, why? Because it makes us feel better when we're not here. And so one of the ones that I hear oftentimes is, you know what, Pastor? I can be just as good of a Christian and not attend church. Let me ask you a question. Can you really? Can you really be just as good of a Christian and not attend church? I didn't say, can you be saved and not attend church? Certainly you can be saved and not attend church. Church is not necessary for salvation. What is necessary for salvation is what? Faith and repentance. But the Bible says what? That because we have been saved, the Bible says here in verse 25, he says what? Don't forsake yourself the assembling of one another together, as is the manner of some. So what God has said to us through his word is, we need to be faithful in our attendance. So let me ask you again, if God has directed us and commanded us to do something, can we be that good of a Christian when we openly rebel and refuse to attend church? I believe the answer is pretty clear that we cannot be that good of a Christian because we are not following what God has said to us. Well, as I said, some people believe that, and some people say, well, I don't have to be saved to go to church. And certainly, as I said, you do not have to be saved to go to church to be saved. I was saved in a church. Many of you were saved at a church. Some of you may have been saved on the side of the road, out in a field, at a youth conference in some just general building. The fact of the matter is we do not have to be a church member to be saved, but it certainly helps us in our walk. Other people say, well, you know what? I'm too busy to be involved in church. I'm too busy. Things just take the priority. And that's exactly what's happening. It amazes me that over the years that I've been in the ministry, the excuses I hear from people when they tell me why they do not go to church. They'll tell me, well, you know what, Pastor? I just work so much and Sunday's really my only day off. Well, let me tell you something. I work a lot too. And Sunday's not an off day for me. But even before I was a minister, Sunday was where I found my priority being in church. We can find all these reasons why we can't go. Now, I realize there are some legitimate reasons why we can't attend church. We may have responsibilities that are absolutely pressing us, and we have to miss occasionally. I understand that. However, oftentimes we use excuses because it makes us feel better about us staying at home. And so what do we do? What we're really saying is that all these other things are a priority over my attendance in church. The question you have to ask yourself this morning is, what's your priority? Is your priority ball? Is your priority recreation? Is your priority sleep? Is your priority time with the kids? What's your priority? It's either God or it's something else. Now, the lot of things is that you say, well, I don't get anything out of being in church. I don't get anything from being out of church, being in church. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not getting anything out of church, something's wrong. Let me say that again. If you're not getting anything out of church, something is wrong. Because church is a place where we worship God. Church is a place where we learn about God. Church is a place where we evangelize, disciplize, we grow, we edify one another, and we grow as a family. And so, let me say this to you. Oftentimes, the reason why you may not get anything out of church is because you don't expect anything out of church. Let me say that again. If you're not expected to get anything, you will not be disappointed. You'll get exactly what you are expecting. But when we come to church, we should come with the expectation that through the song service, through the preaching, through the Sunday school lessons, we're going to get something today that's going to help us grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Many, many years, the Kingsmen, many years ago, was a gospel group called the Kingsmen, who had a song out called Excuses. And if I could read this, it printed out so small, so I was hopeful I could get this today, but it's kind of funny, but there's a lot of truth to it. It says, excuses, excuses, you hear them every day, and the devil, he'll supply them. If from church, you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses, so to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. In the summer, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you find some other places to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or visit some old friend or to just stay home and kind of relax and hope that some of the kin folks will start dropping in. Well, the church benches are too hard or the choir sings way too loud. Well, you know how nervous you get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. The doctor told you, no, you better watch them crowds. They'll get you, set you back. But you go to that old ball game because it seems to help you relax. Well, a headache on Sunday morning and a backache on Sunday night, by work time Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. Well, one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, did you suppose? Well, the whole family has to stay at home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Well, the preacher, he's too young, or maybe he's too old. The sermons, they're just not hard enough, or maybe they're too bold. His voice is much too quiet, like sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or else he's way too proud. Well, the sermons, they're too long. Nobody's ever said that here. Or maybe they're too short. Never said that here. He ought to be preached the word with dignity instead of snort and snort, stomp and snort. Well, that preacher we've got must be the world's most stuck-up man. Well, one of the ladies told me he didn't even shake my hand. Now, why that is a funny song, the fact of the matter is what it's saying to us is you do not have to look far to find an excuse not to go to church. I'm going to be real honest with you. There are Sunday mornings I wake up and I've looked at Kay and I said, if I wasn't a pastor, I don't know if I'd go today. I understand that. There are times that we just do not feel like going to church. But let me ask you a question. Is that an exception or is that a rule? The fact of the matter is God has commanded us to be faithful in attendance. In fact, the early church, they demonstrated by daily gathering together of the importance of being with fellow believers. Now, let me say something first of all. It is much easier to get into a habit of skipping church than it is getting into a habit of going to church. Scientists tell us that we need to do something for 30 straight days in order for it to become a habit. Now, if that's the case, since we only meet a couple of days a week, then we need to get into a habit over a 2 or 3 month period of time where church is important to us. Because why? The Bible directs us to go to church. So why is church attendance so important? Well, I'm going to give you quickly this morning, of course, 7 reasons why you should go to church. 7 reasons why you should go to church. First of all, God commands us. God commands every believer to be faithful in their attendance. Look at what he says here. He says what? Verse 24, and let us consider one another, provoking to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What is he saying to you and me? He says, you and I should make it a habit to attend church. Let me say that again. You and I should make it a habit to attend church. That's not because I'm a preacher saying that, but I'm saying it because that's what the Holy Spirit has inspired the writer of Hebrews to write to us in this book, not to forsake ourselves, the assembling of one another together. So if you don't need any other reason, highlight this one. God commands you and me to attend church, and when we fail to do what he commands us to do, it is rebellion and it is sin. Secondly, our commitment to church is a good indication of our commitment to God. Our commitment to church is a good indication of our commitment to God. Now, we had a couple of couples today that were celebrating their wedding anniversary this month, and all of us, many of us here are married. I've been married to my wife for over 25 years, and I wonder how she would feel if I would say, Kay, I just want to let you know I love you, but I really don't want to spend much time with you. I really want to do my own thing. I want to hang out with my friends, and if you want to do something, that's fine, but I want to sleep in, or I want to go do something, and because really, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with you, okay? Now, I wonder what she would think. She would think, well, can you really say you love me if you don't want to spend any time with me? Can you really say to God today, God, I love you. I surrender myself to you. I yield myself to you. And yet say to him, you know what, God? Church is just really not that big of a deal to me. Most of you know my testimony of how when I was in college, I got away from the Lord. And the first thing that happened when I got away from the Lord, I quit spending time in his house. And the reason why I quit spending time in his house is because my commitment and my relationship with God was not where it needed to be. And that was evident in the time that I spent with him. And when I rededicated my life, what was the first thing I did? I got back to spending time with God. I truly believe that your faithfulness to church is a true indication of your faithfulness to God. Thirdly, your children will be greatly affected by either your attendance or lack thereof in church. Your children will be greatly affected by either your attendance or your lack of attendance to church. I was very grateful and very privileged to grow up in a Christian home where church was extremely important. We were in church every single time the doors opened. There was no option of playing ball. There was no option of missing church. There was no option of doing something else. When church doors were open, we were there. And I contribute a lot of my faithfulness to church today, not just being a minister, but my faithfulness to church, because I was faithful to church when I wasn't a minister, because that's the way I was raised. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I had a lady one time, and I think I've shared this story. In another church, she came to me, she says, Brother Bob, she says, I don't know what's wrong. I just can't get my kids interested in church. Now, this was a lady that was very sporadic in her church attendance. She'd be here one Sunday, and might be three more Sundays, and she wasn't there. And she'd come another Sunday, and she'd miss a couple Sundays, and come another Sunday. And I said, well, what's going on? Of course, the husband never came. He said, well, they just kind of want to stay home with their dad. And she says, I don't know what I can do to get them involved in church. And I was probably a little bit too bold and maybe a little bit too harsh, but I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to get your children in church, get yourself in church. Parents who do not go to church raise children who do not go to church. So your children will be greatly influenced by either your commitment to church or your lack of commitment to church. Now, I'm very grateful for our young children we have here every Sunday. I think it's great that parents bring their children. I think that's fantastic. Keep it up. Because it will greatly influence your children. Fourthly, church is a place of learning, dedication, and growth. Church is a place of learning, dedication, and growth. Now, I said earlier, a lot of times people say, well, the reason I don't attend church is because I just don't get a whole lot out of it. Then you must not be listening. Because I take my job as a pastor and as a pulpit pastor very seriously. And my messages are always have one of three things happen in my message. Either they are messages of conviction, messages of challenge, or messages of comfort. And sometimes they may be a combination of two or three of those. Always a message of conviction, a message of challenge, or a message of comfort. And so I don't tell a lot of stories. I don't tell a lot of jokes because that's not why you're here. You're here what? To learn, to grow, to become disciples for Jesus Christ. And so I get you for 30 plus or minus a few minutes. And so I take it very seriously so that when you leave here, my goal when you leave here is you leave better than you came in. That you learn something will help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're just here to attend and not here to learn, then you've missed the whole reason to be here. As I've said many times, church is like a schoolhouse. Now, sadly, schoolhouses, and you teachers here know that, many students are there to learn, but many are just there because they have to be. I've always heard it's much easier to teach in college than it is high school because the kids want to be there. They're paying, or their parents are paying to be there. Well, just like in schoolhouse, a church is the same way. You have people here that just feel like they have to be here because they feel guilty if they don't, but they're not here to learn. My son has a saying that I absolutely hate. C's get degrees. I hate that saying. Now, what that says to me about Evan is Evan is just there to get the bare minimum. My daughter, on the other hand, being the studious person, salutatorian in her class of nearly 400, took school extremely serious. She was there to learn. Church people are the same way. Some people are here to learn, to grow, to learn and want to hear messages of conviction, and messages that challenge them, and messages that will comfort them. And many may be in churches today to hear messages that will tickle their eardrops. Church is a place to learn. So see it that way. Sixthly, the church lacks completeness when you don't attend. The church lacks completeness when you don't attend. Keep your finger here. And look over in Ephesians chapter 4 for just a moment. And I want you to notice something. Now, you may not realize this, but if you've heard me preach over the years, I've made this statement many times. First of all, you're not here by mistake or by coincidence. You're not here by mistake or coincidence. God has led you to this church. Over the last several years, God has led many families to our church, and I'm very grateful for that. And without exception, every single one of those families is actively involved in something in our church. Notice what he says here in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. In other words, he's called all of us to do different things. He's not called every one of us to stand behind the pulpit and preach. He's not called every one of us to teach a Sunday school class. He's not called every one of us to lead music, but he's called every one of you to do something. And what did he do it for? Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. He says what? Why are we here this morning? We are here this morning as a group of believers with a purpose that God has given you to do what? To keep working until everybody knows Christ as Savior. You have a role in that. You say, Pastor, I don't know what my role is. Then get on your knees and seek God's guidance and find out what it is. God needs you at this church. Donaldson Grove needs you at this church. And when you're not here, we lack completeness. Look over in Romans chapter 12. Notice what he says, what Paul said to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 12, and look in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, all members do not have the same office. That is, not all of us, as I said, are a pastor. Now, it'd be great if all of you were pastors. The sad thing is, none of you would be here today. You'd be pastoring somewhere else. When James became a pastor, I hated to see James and Carrie believe, but I saw it also as a great mark about our church that we had led and worked with some young people, and now they are carrying the gospel to another church. But not all of us are called to do that. So you have a different office. You know, we take some offices a little bit lightly. I believe, other than the pastor and maybe the associate pastor, and I don't mean this to sound unimportant, I don't mean it that way, but there's an office in this church that is of utmost importance, and that's the office of treasurer. And Casey does a fantastic job at that. I would not want that job. I do good to balance my own accounts and run my own budget. I certainly want to run the church. It's a gift. It's an office. And he's exceptional at it. Our janitorial, our custodial. I don't want to come into a church that's dirty. I don't want to go to a restroom that's dirty. That's extreme importance. Everybody here has an office that is important. Notice what he says. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of another, having in gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy, that is preaching, according to the proportion of faith. Of ministry, let us wait upon our ministry, whatever your ministry may be. If you be a teacher, let him teach. If your gift is exhortation, let him exhortate. Or exhort. I guess exhortate would not be the word. Exhort. He gives. Maybe you have a gift of giving. Then give with simplicity. Maybe you have a gift of leadership. Let him lead. But do it with diligence. Maybe you have the gift of mercy. He said, do mercy and do it cheerfully. What's he saying? Every single one of us in here have a role in our church. And when you are not fulfilling your role, Donaldson Grove is not what Donaldson Grove should be. We need you. So when I preach a message on the church important, really that important, not only it's for your self-spiritual growth, but it's for the unity and the growth of Donaldson Grove Baptist Church. And that's the reason why we can, as a small church, do the things that we do. Last Sunday when I called up all the people that were involved in Vacation Bible School, they wrapped around the church almost. Why? Because that's what it takes for us to do the things that we do. And we need your help. The church needs your help. And let me say something to you this morning. If you're a member of this church and you don't have a role, a function, you see me. You see Brother Jason. See Brother Kurt. We'll find you a place. I guarantee you we can use you. Because God brought you here for a purpose. Seventhly and lastly, church is so important because your relationship with God is greatly affected by your faithfulness to church. Your relationship to God is greatly affected by your lack of faithfulness to church. Jim was a member of the local Baptist church, had been a faithful member for years. But over the last 3 or 4 months, Jim had stopped going to church. And so the pastor noticed that, and so one cold, wintry evening, he called on him and went to his house, and Jim opened the door and welcomed him in, and there was a big fire going in the fireplace. And so they sat around the fireplace, and they did a little small little chat-chat, and then they just stood and were sitting and looked at the fire. Well, the pastor got up and he took and moved one of the embers off the fire all by itself and sat back down. And over a course of time, that amber started to burn out because it was not connected with the rest of the fire. Jim looked at the pastor. He said, I understand. I'll be there Sunday. What the pastor had said to him in such a simple way was, your connectivity to the church is beneficial, but when you lose your connectivity to the church, you may have your fire go out. Maybe here this morning, your fire has started to go out. Maybe your enthusiasm for God, your love for God, your commitment to God, the time you spend with God is not what it used to be because you failed to really connect with the church. And your fire is going out. My friend, don't let your fire go out this morning. Stay connected. Let me tell you something. When we go on vacation, if we're not able to go to a church somewhere, I miss that. It is an emptiness in me when I'm not in church. If I'm sick and I can't attend, there's an emptiness there. It's like I'm out of energy. I'm missing something because I'm not in the church. My friend, there's great benefit to being faithfully connected with a local body of believers. Let me say this in closing. You need the church this morning, whether you realize it or not. You need the church. You need it. Now, you're here this morning because you realize that. But let me ask you this. What's keeping you, if you're not faithfully attending church, to being here faithfully? What is that? What's the excuse you're giving? What is the reason that's keeping you from being faithful in your church attendance? My friend, not only you need the church needs you. But don't let your fire burn out this morning. Maybe today you need to make a new commitment or renew your commitment to the faithfulness to church. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been attending, but you're not a member of this church, and maybe God has called you to join our church. Maybe God has called you, if you are a member, or you are faithfully attending, but you're not actively involved, to find something, and you want to say to us today, God, Pastor, I don't know what I need to do, but I know God is calling me to do something here at Donaldson Grove, and I want to surrender myself and offer myself up to be used by God at Donaldson Grove. My friend, is church really that important? Absolutely. It really is. It really, really is. And I'm not saying that as a pastor. I'm saying that by personal experience. In my own life, in the lives of other people, church attendance really is that important. And maybe today, you need to renew your commitment to church. Father,